Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bow your heads for a prayer with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this day that you have called us to be your people. And that on this All Saints Sunday, as we reflect upon those who have gone before us into the eternal joys of heaven, we pray you would lead us to follow their faithful example to your word, that putting their faith into action, they reflected the love you have given in your Son, Jesus. May we also reflect that love in our words and actions, that others might come to know your love through us. Help us to remember that it is a steadfast love and knowledge of you that you desire, so that our lives may truly rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, and for the next couple of weeks, we are going to go on a brief excursion from preaching on the assigned scripture lessons to reflect briefly as we approach Loyalty Sunday on the phrase, God's prophets and our commitment. For through the words of the prophets, we can gain great insight into what it means to be the people of God. Today we want to reflect on what it is that is God's desire and choose as our sermon text the words of the prophet Hosea in chapter 6, verse 6, where he writes, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Thus far our text. What does it mean to be a saint? Is it someone who has lived a perfect life? How many of you have done that? Anybody? I don't see any hands. Well, so much for saints in our midst. Or is it someone who has received forgiveness in Christ? And I bet now if I asked for a show of hands, I would hope everybody's would go up. Because that's what a saint is. It is a person who knows what Jesus Christ has done, and who lives within that faith and grace to share that same love with the world around. On All Saints Sunday, we celebrate those who have gone before us into eternal life because of the life which they led as children of faith, knowing that in them God established a relationship that drew them out of the world into His family and blessed them with forgiveness and bless them with that gift of new life. It's the same for us. In the waters of holy baptism, we have been washed clean of our sins and drawn into God's family, indeed have been given God's holy name. And thereby we now live in a relationship with a living God. That's true in the Old Testament as God calls His people. It's true in the New Testament as we are called to be the people of God. Even in the giving of the Ten Commandments, which we tend to focus on Exodus 20, there's a couple of verses that we sometimes just kind of skip over. It's the opening verses of that marvelous chapter that shares with us what the will of God is. When God begins in Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2 with these words, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." It is only after God reminds the people of Israel that they belong to Him, not because they're such a great nation, but because He has called them and brought them out of slavery, that they now have the privilege of hearing and knowing and understanding what God's will is for them. God makes it clear that His concern is for their relationship with His people, much as Hosea does today when he writes, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." God desires. Whether it's in the Old or the New Testaments, whether it's found in the words of the patriarchs or the prophets or the words of Jesus or the writings of the apostles, our relationship with God depends not on how good we are, but on how great His love is for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God shares through Moses these words, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth." Then words we need to hear. "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath He swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery." In much the same way, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy that it is that in the sight of God, he desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It is God's desire that people know Him, that people know the depth of His love for them, His grace in choosing them and in making His own. The relationship we have with God is not one that is there because of how good we are, nor dependent on how great our obedience is. For even the people of Hosea's day thought they were doing things pretty good. They'd go to worship. They would do the right things in the right way. They would pat themselves on the back, go home, and then live their lives as if God meant nothing. And life went on. They went through the motions. Hosea is challenging them. Challenging them to return, to repent, to come back to God, to understand the depth of God's love for them. He is reminding them that God does not rejoice in going through motions, no matter how good a job you do. It's said in Isaiah chapter 1, "I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats." Samuel says it in 1 Samuel 15, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than to the fat of rams." Jesus shares it. "If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." And in Mark, "And to love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." So where does that leave us in 2018? In 1832, a writer talking about these verses makes what I think is a valid statement and translates and comes into our present day just as validly as when it was written. He observes, "There is a disposition in every man to substitute external observances for the devotion of the heart, and to rest satisfied with rendering to God some easy services while they are utterly averse to those duties which are more difficult and self-denying. But God cannot be deceived, nor will He be mocked. He will look at the heart, not at the outward appearance only, and will mark with indignation the partial obedience of the hypocrite no less than the open disobedience of the profane. It was thus that He dealt with His people of old, hewing them by His prophets and slaying them by the words of His mouth." Ah. And then he goes on, "But they rested in their sacrifices and burnt offerings when He desired the more acceptable services of faith and love." So what does that mean for us today? Are we not being drawn back to the only true hope, the only real hope that we have, the hope that comes from the fact that God has chosen us, that we are unable to make ourselves into saints, but that God, in the power of His Holy Spirit, has entered our lives, washed away our sins, given us His name, comes to us in His Word, feeds us with the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and empowers us to know Him and His love And then to put that faith into practice, into a life that reflects His love in our communities. One of the great promises of the sacrament of holy baptism is not just forgiveness of sins, but we talk about forgiveness and new life. According to Hosea, God desires steadfast love and knowledge. He calls for a life that responds to the love of God. That doesn't mean you don't want to do things in honor and glory of God. It means it has to come from the heart. And not with an idea that somehow if we pat ourselves on the back, we're okay. It means that as we come under God's word and sacrament and are nourished by His Holy Spirit, our faith grows strong. And we're empowered to live more and more for Him. I remember my dad in my junior and senior high school years. We lived in southwestern Minnesota in a parsonage next door to the church. And every Sunday, he had to be sure the church was open no later than 7 a.m. for an 8 o'clock service. You know why? And I remember it now so well. Because there were always people who were coming in to meditate and to pray for their pastor and for the worship and for the congregation, spending time in quiet meditation and prayer on behalf of God's holy word that was to be shared that day. We prepare for worship. My grandfather, who served a congregation about 7 or 8 miles from the Iowa border for, I think, 17 or 18 years, and I know this from my uncles because my grandfather died when my dad was about 4 months old, he had to hook up the wagon and go to those various wonderful establishments that are gathered around southern rural Minnesota. I think we call them drinking establishments. And it was his responsibility as the pastor to bring all the men home so they could be sure they'd have their wives and families in church the following morning. Boy, I'm sure glad ministry has changed. But part of that feeds in right here, because part of that is being prepared for worship, for hearing and coming to know our God and to receive the forgiveness of sins and the power and the blessing of God, so that we are connected to God and, like the saints of old, growing in faith, our lives will reflect the love that our God has given to us. Jesus reminds us that every tree that bears good fruit, every healthy tree bears good fruit. And every bad tree or diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. We need to be connected. Jesus says as much again in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we are not connected to God, we cannot expect our lives will reflect the blessings that God has shared with us. Live the life that God desires to be lived from us. One of the writers on this particular passage that I looked at describes the people of Israel in terms of a fog. They would come in and worship, and by the time they left worship, the fog was dissipating, and so was their faith life. That can't be what happens today. The bright sun of God's love in Christ must shine through us. His love will continue to bring glory to God. That love will transform the lives of others. We had Halloween this week. I don't know how many of you are fond of handing out candy and probably don't do much of that anymore. In my second parish, it was still a small town and very common to do so. And I handed out one year, somewhere between 120 to 140 or more pieces of candy at the door. It had been about 45 minutes actually in doing that. And I just turned out the porch light when the doorbell rang. And I opened the door to a family of, I think it was five, it may have been just four, children, young boys from one family with whom I had been doing a fair amount of work because there were issues involved. And it was a wonderful family and growing in so many ways. And I looked at the boys and said, I'm really sorry, but I don't have any more candy to distribute. I just handed out the last that I had. And they left. And I sat down and was watching a little bit of TV when suddenly the doorbell rang again. And I opened the door and I looked at them at the same boys. And I told them, I'm really sorry, I just don't have anything that I can distribute. And one of the boys looked at me and said, oh, that's all right, Pastor. We came to share with you. And they came traipsing into the living room, dropped on the floor, opened their bags of candy, and then said, here, Pastor, these are really good. Have you ever had one of these? I like these. Here, you have this one. And one of the other boys said, well, I have a couple of those. Here, Pastor, you can have at least one of those. And then, you know, I think I ended up with more candy that night than I had when I began. The parents in church on Sunday morning, as we visited, said, Pastor, we want you to know that was not something we started. It was the boys themselves who said, we should go back to Pastor. We should share. Now, I share that with you not because I got lots of candy, although I admit I like candy. But because it shows some of the transforming and empowering sense of God's love as we come under that love, to see how it changes people, to see how even simple acts that we might not recognize can be ways in which the love of God shared transforms and changes the way we live. That when we are connected to God and to His love in Christ Jesus, that we are truly connected to Him in the power of His Holy Spirit, and that makes a difference in our lives. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we have gathered on this All Saints' Day to be reminded that we are the people of God, not because we're so great. We bring our sins to this rail. And God says to us, I've chosen you. You are mine. I have forgiven you. I grant you my Holy Spirit. Go forth and like the saints of old, as children of the Heavenly Father, live and share the love you have received in Christ. That's God's desire. That's the beginning point for all of our lives as the children of God. And may God continue to bless us in that life for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.